Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. The band is back together.
Yes.
We are back together once again. Do we really need to cover anything with WWE this week? Aside from our usual, like, you know, I hate Roman.
Like, Roman's still frustrating. Why is...
I hate that Braun Strowman is a heel now, and it feels weird, even though he's, like, he was the most over thing in the company.
Is he a heel? Like, he's not getting...
He's not quite getting, like, the Becky response, because Becky, like, they were trying, and it was obvious they were turning her heel, and no one, like, cared, and so they've kind of admitted defeat on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a weird, like... I don't know if hesitation is the right word, but like the crowd clearly isn't completely behind this heel turn. Like they'll boo the other guys out of Ziggler and McIntyre, but
yeah,
Braun, like they still want, you know, to do the get these hands chance and stuff.
Well, so it's kind of interesting because I still feel like I'm not sure if the Shield is back together.
Yeah,
like I know they are, and I know they came to the crowd, and I know like they're doing Shield stuff. But it still feels like I want the Shield to reunion to happen, but this still feels very borrowed timey.
Yeah.
This still feels Roman and his friends. And I'm trying to, like, you know, watching it this way, I'm like, what? I'm trying to put my finger on the exact je ne sais quoi of what the Shield was. And part of it was Dean was in charge.
Yeah. Dean wasn't, like, the silent sidekick, which is kind of what they're using him as right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that's, it's not going to be the same because they're pushing Roman way more than they used to be.
Mm-hmm. And Dean wasn't even necessarily in charge. They did have this feel of like three people united in their fight against injustice, blah-de-blah. But Dean was the mouthpiece.
Right.
And Roman was China.
Yeah, he was the strong silent, and he was perfect.
He did great at it.
Yeah. I wish they've been doing that with him all along. He was great when he didn't talk.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. I'm still like, hooray, the Shield, and I want this to be an actual thing.
Yeah.
And I could even get over... I could get over the Braun Strowman heel turn in a, like, the Shield is... Superman of WWE right now, since, you know, Cena's gone.
Sure.
The standard Superman. But the Shield is three of your top tier guys being a team. It's your, you know, superpowers. And you need something powerful for them to fight.
Right. Like, but I don't want, like, you know, copy and paste it together, like, you know, teams that weren't really a team before this, and now they've got to have somebody for the Shield to beat, so they...
I'm okay with it up to a point. If you view the Shield as, you know, the Justice League or whatever, where you have your three top guys now forming a super top guy, you need a Legion of Doom for them to fight. So it doesn't necessarily have to have been a long-term team. It can be a bunch of supervillains to stretch this metaphor beyond its breaking point.
Yeah.
You can have a bunch of supervillains team up to fight this team of heroes. And in theory, I'm okay with Braun Strowman's heel turn because you need such a powerful adversary for them to face to be worthy of the Shield joining up. It's like when you go to whatever that Survivor Series where Cena and The Rock were going to team up before Once in a Lifetime, and you're like, It was clear they were supposed to be on the same Survivor Series team, and then that got nixed.
Right.
But they'd already been advertising that they're going to be on the same team. And so John Cena has to face The Miz and R-Truth, and he's like, I can only do this with The Rock. And you're like, really?
You really could have picked anyone else, and it would have been perfectly fine in that squash match. Yeah.
So Braun Strowman does feel like the kind of like, oh, this is a villain and a threat now. And this is worthy of the Shield reuniting to take this on. But it doesn't feel like it's in service of the Shield. It feels like it's in service of Roman Reigns still.
Yeah.
And honestly, this might be, I will be upfront, and this might be me bracing for, like, oh, this is all going to be about Roman and looking for it and looking for the worst in this.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I have to look very hard.
No, you really don't, because all signs are like, oh, he's... Braun Strowman is going to lose at Hell in a Cell, and that's going to be the end of it. And there's going to be no real reason for them to team him with Dolph and Drew. I mean, unless they do something against each other in Survivor Series, I don't know. Like, I don't really see what the long-term goal is for that, because I feel like as soon as, you know, Roman beats him at Hell in a Cell, that team is going to dissolve. You know, at least with, I mean, Drew and Ziggler might still be together, but their connection with Braun might dissolve.
Yeah. Do you think, is it possible, what are the odds with Survivor Series not being terribly far away, what are the chances that they're going to try to add members of the Shield to make a 5-person team?
Are you thinking about Authors of Pain?
Because
they've already got the outfit.
They do already have
now
the
with
outfit.
Drake Maverick, who looks adorable.
But I mean, obviously that's a very tantalizing idea of like, oh, we'll have the Shield be one of the teams to face off against somebody else. But are they going to do like the Shield and Finn Balor and
probably,
I don't know, Kofi or whatever? Or are they going to be like,
Kofi's on SmackDown, but okay.
Or whatever. Or are they going to be like, oh, Finn Balor's part of the Shield now, so it's like the Shield unit has grown to 5.
Kind of like how they, you know, just shoehorned Kurt Angle in because of sickness.
Yeah.
I could see.
Well, I'm thinking about how like DX grew, kind of weird. Like,
okay.
And the, you know, extreme version is obviously NWO. Where it's like, oh wait, everybody's right. In NWO.
I don't know. I could see if there's some sort of, if there's another like hot angle going into Survivor Series, I could see, you know, the Shield like recruiting like Authors of Pain. Like, honestly, Authors of Pain is the only thing that sticks out of my mind, because like they're two guys that, you know, they look like they belong in the Shield.
And we wish they had more.
We wish they had more to do, and this would kind of help elevate them. Moving a more top guy like Finn over the Shield doesn't really do a whole lot for him, you know?
Yeah.
It just kind of feels more like they're just kind of just putting pieces together, just, you know, just so they can have something so he can be on the show, you know? I could see something like that happening, and then maybe something happens where they break down and, like, they clash and then leads to a rivalry between them and Authors of Pain, and, you know, maybe actually put Authors of Pain over once in a while and see what happens.
Novel concept.
Right? But seriously, Drake Maverick looks like someone dressed their toddler to look up like the Shield.
Did you see when somebody, he was confronted about it on 205 Live? And he was like, what I do on my Mondays is none of your business. I'm like, oh, you made it a dirty thing now.
Right? It was weird because there was a rumor that, what's his name? James Ellsworth was backstage this week. And so everyone was like, well, maybe 205 Live needs a new general manager.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would be okay with that, because that means James Ellsworth wouldn't really wrestle.
Yeah.
And that's really a plus for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind him wrestling. No. I have moved past, like the Carmella's lackey is played out now.
Yeah.
And you know what? It is right at the line of being played out. I have been fine with it throughout this whole time. I was fine with the bringing back, just story-wise. Yeah, okay. This is the, you know, one last twist that you have. It's like, oh, he's come back to help.
Yeah.
And now that you've done that, you're done. Mm-hmm. And if you stop it right here, you've found the perfect line. You've you know, played this song to its end, and now we can stop.
Right, yeah.
Let's see what happens.
So it's interesting. On, like, they just kind of sprung that on that, you know, Drake was going to be their new manager. It's weird that they put him in an AOP costume.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad idea. They definitely need a manager. Mm-hmm. They have been floundering without one.
But they could have easily, like, just had Drake wear, like, what he usually wears.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
They can wear, like, you know, if he wants to copy Paul Ellering, he can wear a black turtleneck and a leather jacket. Like, you can come up with something to where he looks, you know, like he would manage them, but at the same time doesn't look like a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
You know? So I it would be interesting to see where they go with that. Man, our truth severely sports entertained me on Tuesday. Let me just go ahead and say that. Just the, like, you know, I'm the whole, like, him chasing down Carmelo thing is funny. Him mistaking Maurice for Carmelo was fine. And then, like, the end where, or towards the end where he, like, kind of winked at Titan Dillon, just like, that's how you get on the main event of SmackDown. It was like, I think he knows what he's doing. You know, like, it was a nice little line.
Has R-Truth been the weirdly most consistent storytelling on main roster WWE since 2011?
Yeah, because he's, like, he's maintained this gimmick for a while. I mean, a lot of people have maintained gimmicks for years and years and years, but I don't know, like, for some reason, like, his just stays the same and, sorry for the pun, truthful to character, like, this entire time.
Well, and it's so much...
Granted, it also helps that he doesn't get a whole lot of camera time either.
Well, it's so much a character that would go away during a long absence period.
Right.
And it ebbs and flows, and, like, Little Jimmy's not a thing anymore, but...
Right.
The Little Jimmy version of this character still fits into the natural evolution of the current version of this character.
R-Truth just being, you know, bad poop, crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, no, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on to way more important things. Let's talk about All In.
Okay.
Okay, so Joel wasn't here when me and Neil previewed All In, and I basically was trying to sell why Neil should watch it. And we all ended up watching it together, and man, what a fun time it was.
I think we all enjoyed it.
Yeah, not by far. I think the only real complaints I've heard was the Joey Ryan bit at the end of the Joey Janela Hangman Page match.
Yeah.
And the fact that the main event had to be cut short because of time.
Right.
The first, like, honestly, like, I don't understand the outrage of the Joey Ryan thing with the, you know, the quote unquote druids coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Because with all of, like, they devoted so much time to on being the elite to this storyline. If there wasn't some sort of payoff for at all in, a lot of people would have, you know, been like, what's going on? What's up with that?
I was honestly impressed with how much continuity with being the elite,
yeah,
there was.
Like, that's what this show was. It was a big payoff for being the elite. And with Cody and Nick Aldis, it was a big payoff for 10 Pounds of Gold,
mm-hmm,
which I went back and watched through all that, and I kind of wish I was watching it before it, you know, because it was a great build-up. But yeah, this served as a big payoff for, you know, these internet videos that pretty much everyone in the audience had seen, so everyone's in on it.
Yeah.
I think the only people that didn't enjoy the Joey Ryan bit were probably people who don't watch Being the Elite and just, tuned in.
I think there is, and that's the thing, is like, I think there is a large, you know, faction of the audience that does not watch Being,
sure,
the Elite, that is aware of stuff, but just there is so much internet hype over,
right,
All In.
So they went in and watched
that, they're going to tune into this for the first time. So I do see,
yeah,
a lot of things, mm-hmm, where, like, and because, in large part, this was a show you can just tune into.
No, yeah, 100%. Like, and there was enough of video packages and just announcer explanation, which didn't, mm-hmm, really, any of the announcer explanation, it didn't really feel forced, which, you know, is weird because that's what we're used to, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, an outsider could have gone into this show completely blank and still enjoy the show. And,
well, and there's a lot of
those things.
There's a lot of matches that are going on because, hey, these guys should have a match.
Yeah,
like and they don't,
yeah, with
have
Omega and Pentagon. Yeah,
yeah, there's no fabricated storytelling. There's no,
yeah,
character-driven arc there. It's just like, these guys are going to have a match, and they're going to see who wins.
Yeah.
But
yeah, like, the people that are complaining about the Joey Ryan bit, I think are just taking wrestling way too seriously. And I'm like, do you not, like, it's part, like, comedy bits, ridiculous bits, has been a part of wrestling since the beginning.
It absolutely has.
You know, like, this is no worse than anything WWE has done,
no,
over the past 50 years.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely not anything worse than TNA's ever done. Mind you, there was once a segment where a little person brought a gun to the ring on TNA.
I'm fine with the conduit. Somebody pointed out, a few days after the show that Joey Ryan is probably one of the safest wrestlers in wrestling right now, because there's so much, like, you just flip yourself. He just does a flex move.
You just have to, the trade-off is you just have to touch his privates for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, and apparently, like, he's turned down, like, a few spots that people have come up with. Like, one is, you know, doing the flip with their mouth.
Yeah.
So it's good to see that even he has limits. But it was just, it was fun. Like, the night overall was fun.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to put all the blame of, like, the timing and everything. I don't think it's fair to put all the blame on Okada and Marty Scurll.
Yeah.
Because, like, they were 11 minutes over, like, the entire show. And, like, that's over the course of the entire show. There's no way in the world that Okada and Marty Scurll went over by 11 minutes themselves. So the fact that, like, people are blaming that match, like, yeah, it was a little bit longer of a match.
So,
and it felt slower, but...
So a lot of things about, obviously, that there's, you know, there's no question that the ending match was cut short.
Yeah.
And they've come out and talked about that. Mm-hmm. If you have ever tried to plan any sort of event, you know that time disappears.
Yeah.
This takes 20 seconds longer. This takes 15 seconds longer. And it adds up to, you know, why are we half an hour behind schedule?
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of moments where you could have pointed at, and, like, they could have cut time here. But again, these guys are doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
So I feel like being that harsh is a little, I don't want to say unwarranted, but it's a little much.
And it's a lot of stuff where, like, people talk about, oh, well, the things they should have cut. Like, the first match is, oh, they should have cut that. There was no build-up announcement. Honestly, we had streaming issues at the beginning.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, go on any sort of thread and be like, just block after block of, like, issues.
Just a swarm of people trying to stream the same thing.
And this one match that, like, kind of felt like a nice time buffer where I'm like, yeah, I didn't get to see all of that match, but what I saw was fine, and I wasn't excited about that match. That wasn't what I was tuning in for.
Yeah.
That's a really... I don't know if they did it on purpose or they're like, something to...
Yeah, but they well, it was Matt Cross and MJF.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are familiar with Matt Cross because, you know, Lucha and everything. But MJF was a kind of more of a relatively unknown figure on a mass scale. Mm-hmm. So, like, there wasn't really any hype behind that match. I didn't even know that match was happening, to be honest with you.
Right. I don't think they announced it.
It wasn't on Wiki. I don't think it was on the Wikipedia because I don't remember. I was talking about it last week.
Yeah. And if they announced it, it was, like, within the last week of something or whatever.
So, I think they started it off with, I think their thinking was, you know, Matt Cross is a good guy to work this, you know, this person that's not as well known with.
Right.
And it's a good way to start off the show and get some eyes on, you know, on this new, because, I mean, honestly, like, when are you going to get more attention on a pay-per-view than the beginning?
Yeah.
Know? That's when most everyone is going to be tuning in, and then you might trail off at some point. So it made sense, but at the same time, with people who are having streaming issues, it's not like you missed any of the super
right. It's very nice
matches.
You had the list of things that I was tuning in and looking forward to,
right?
And I didn't miss any of that. There's a lot of things, like the women's match ended weird.
Yeah,
and so did it go over? And so they called a pin when they were trying to do a kick out,
right?
Or
was that how it was designed? That the person that was trying to come in, make the save, and just missed it by a hair,
and
that,
yeah,
you know, because honestly, I find that to be a fascinating ending. Mm-hmm. You don't really see it that much.
Yeah,
you know, you see, like, you know, in on a tag team or a elimination match like that, or just a multi-person match where the person is trying to make the save, but they're not really all that close, and then the three count happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never really seen one of those matches end with somebody who's coming, like, you know, a hair away from breaking it up and just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, you have moments like, when Jericho attacked Omega, the lights were off for longer than they should have been.
Right. And I obviously it's so that Jericho can get from behind.
Well, they talked about, Jericho was led to the wrong end of the, he mentioned on his podcast, he was led to the wrong side of the ring and had to basically run around the ring so he would be behind Omega. And that takes up time.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And, like, you know, 20 extra seconds in the dark, not a huge deal.
But it adds up.
It absolutely adds up.
Yeah.
Some people have said that they saw the ref trying to tell Okada and Skrull to finish up and wrap up their match.
Yeah.
For, you know, basically the second half of the match.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Maybe.
I didn't see that specifically. On this week's Botchamania, there is a part where, like, the ref is, like, telling, like, during the main event in the six-man, where he's telling us, like, guys, we got, like, 30 seconds left. Like, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Phoenix just wasn't in on it. Like, he didn't know. So he actually broke up the pin that was supposed to, like, end the match.
Yeah.
And so they, like, came out, like, and they just, you know, the Bucks being the Bucks are like, all right, well, let's hit him with an indie taker and take this bad boy home.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, all in all, like, it was just a fun night.
It was.
And stuff like that, I feel like, is really, like, splitting hairs. And like, yeah, there were aspects that weren't great as it could have been. But at the same time, it was just a fun night that I don't remember anything outside of NXT. I don't remember having that much fun watching a show.
No.
Because NXT, usually there's a lot of drama matches,
mm-hmm.
where you're, like, you're invested, you're into it. And there are, you know, there are matches like that in All In, especially with the NWA World Championship.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I just had fun, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think early on they described it as, like, this is a party.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did that on Being the Elite or something.
Something like that, yeah.
But they lived up to that feeling of, this is a party,
yeah.
for us to celebrate the joy of this wrestling that's happening.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that I think got to see something exciting for the first time. Something like Flip Gordon.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Like, Cody winning the NWA World Championship was a huge payoff, and, like, everyone was going nuts for it.
Mm-hmm.
But Flip getting booked.
Yeah.
and winning that battle royal. I will say this, with Flip's haircut and just being a smaller dude, when he ripped that mask off, for a split second, I was thinking CM Punk. I know I wasn't the only one. But, you know, I pop pretty much just as loud as I would for CM Punk anyway, because it was Flip and he got booked.
Yeah.
That was a huge payoff, and I'm really glad that, because I figured, like, Flip would show up at some point to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun to see him dressed up as Chico. And then the real Chico showed up in the crowd with Fat Masa.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
It was an all around really, really good show.
It really was. Yeah.
There wasn't a weak match. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a bathroom break match.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, honestly, I assumed, and I don't know why I assumed this, but I assumed that Omega and Pentagon was going to be the main event.
I'd assumed so as well.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, Cody and Aldis, that was about halfway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
When that happened, I was like, okay, well, they're ending on Kenny and Pentagon. And then the six-way, and I'm like, all right. But honestly, like, those multi-man tag matches are kind of chaotic anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like them rushing their match would have been, it would have seemed more authentic than Okada and Pentagon trying to rush their match. You know what I mean?
Omega and Pentagon?
That's what I meant.
Well, and part of it is, so you had those last three matches,
mm-hmm.
Okada, Marty Scurll, Kenny and Pentagon, and then the multi-man, mm-hmm. all felt like they could have been main events.
Yeah.
And honestly, the NWA Championship felt like it could have been a main event as well. Just in, like, what's going to be the main event of this show?
Yeah.
I've not had, you know, four episodes of Raw to really drive home the point of what it's going to be.
Right.
It could feasibly be any of these.
It's...
And, you know, again, the time crunch sucks, but if it was Omega and Pentagon, for example, and they had to rush that, I would have felt robbed.
Yeah.
Whereas, I don't particularly feel... I feel bad for the Bucks, because I'm like, man, this is
their moment. Yeah.
This is your moment. This is your crowning. You pulled this off, and now you get to wrestle Rey Mysterio,
mm-hmm.
and you have to smush all it up.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel bad for them, but I don't particularly feel bad for me.
Sure, yeah.
As an audience member.
We don't, like... Yeah, you
not
don't
like
feel
I would if one
way.
Of the other
yeah.
matches had to be shortened.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah, no, you... I really feel like, yeah, no fan really got cheated on this. Yeah, it was just, I know I've said this a billion times, but man, it was just fun. It was interesting what you can do with a card with just, or you can, or with a show with just names. Because, yeah. You know, the only match that was announced before tickets went on sale was like the day before, and that was, you know, Cody versus whoever the NWA champion is.
Right.
And they sold out. All they had at that point were just names that were announced to be there, mm-hmm. you know? And none of them, except for one, was a championship match. There were no championship matches except for the NWA.
Ring of Honor champion.
That's right. You're right. Two. Still. Mm-hmm. That still is pales in comparison in the army of championships WWE puts out, you know, for every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Even in that, you didn't really have a challenger for it until, you know, earlier that same night.
Right.
And the build up was the event, essentially, rather than the matches, rather than the personalities. Like, mm-hmm. it was more just about being, you know, there for history, being there for, you know, to have a good time, to have fun, and not so much of what specific matches you're looking towards.
Now, I want to bring up, since All In has taken place, there's been rumors, I guess, and not super credible ones.
Yeah.
But there's been like talk of if these guys are going to now go to WWE.
Yeah.
How, like, WWE is obviously interested in talks.
Sure. And they're like Bucks, Cody, Kenny,
and Paige.
And Paige, all their contracts are pretty much up mm-hmm. at the same time. The only reason Marty Scurll isn't involved in that is, we don't know exactly how long his deal is, but it is considerably longer than the rest of them.
Right.
So that's why he's not included. There's no like heat or beef or anything with him. Like, it's just not feasible.
Well,
but they pretty much all of those guys have sworn oath that no matter where they go, they're going together.
Yeah. So they're getting all of them or none of them.
Essentially, I don't know. At this point, I don't want to see them in WWE. You know, like, I kind of want to keep them. I understand, like, especially with the Bucks, like, getting this far into their careers,
mm-hmm.
they've done a lot, and WWE is just the only thing that they haven't done. Like, literally haven't done. Like, they've now, like, put on their own show.
Yeah.
You know? So they're coming up with new things that they haven't done yet.
Yeah.
And WWE is just the one thing. But at the same time, when you think about, like, their merch sales and stuff, they would be kind of taking a pay cut. You know? Unless they really, like, negotiated a, you know, Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears type of deal with like $147 million.
So obviously this would be a huge boon for WWE.
Yeah.
You want the Shield to fight somebody and the Elite comes in,
mm-hmm.
like, that's, you know, that's your WrestleMania main event right there.
Yeah.
So on WWE's end, it's no brainer, they should come. And it comes down to what is best for these guys.
Yeah.
And right now, at this moment, they're riding high on, we just put on a show. We pulled it off. We sold out, you know, a 10,000 seat arena.
And as much hype as there was for that, now there's
just absolutely more hype for All In 2.
Right.
Or whatever you want to call it. But to play devil's advocate here,
mm-hmm.
there is something about being a WWE superstar
mm-hmm.
that sets you up for life like nothing else can.
I mean, there's a big argument to be made that would Cody be as successful on the indies if he hadn't been to WWE first?
Mm-hmm.
And been like, yeah, he wasn't, you know, pushed as a lot of people thought he should have been, you know, no matter what character he was. He still has that, you know, that added bump of being former WWE superstar.
Right.
You know, so and, you know, there have been other guys that have that same tag to their name that hasn't really done anything in the independents worth noting, like Ryback or Big Kaz or Big C or whatever he's calling himself now.
Yeah.
Like, they're not exactly making a splash on the indies. Whereas Cody, like, he, you know, hit the ground running. And something that Cody had said, like, you know, if you leave WWE and you don't have, or if you're wanting to leave WWE and you don't have the drive and just the desire to, you know, bust your hump and, you know, and hustle yourself,
mm-hmm.
then stay where you are, you know?
Yeah.
Then don't do it.
And Cody has done it like nobody else.
Right. He's springboarded, because his WWE career was not anything really to...
Well, it was right in the middle. It wasn't anything to write home about, yeah. But it wasn't anything to be ashamed of either.
No, absolutely. But he springboarded that into this massive, like, if you had told me today that a giant smarky crowd was going to cheer Cody Rhodes,
mm-hmm.
you know, at an indie show 2 years after leaving WWE, I would have been like, no, it's not going to happen. Because he didn't really seem like the kind of guy that, you know, smarky, indie-loving wrestling fans
right.
would get behind. And now they absolutely have. Like, they were going nuts for when he won.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, going back and watching this most recent Being the Elite and seeing the crowd react to just the entrances
yeah.
of that match was incredible. So I feel like out of those guys, like, I know Cody will basically, like, you know, they've made the pact that they will all go to the same place together. And he will follow those guys no matter what. But at the same time, I don't know if Cody really has any desire to go back.
I don't know. And then that thing's like, I don't know. I'm
because,
not.
Because, like, the jury's still out for, like, Drew McIntyre. Let's be mm-hmm. honest. Like, you know, he has come back as a bigger deal than what he was when he left.
Right.
You know, by far. But he's still in the tag team, and he hasn't really done a whole lot on the main roster. Like, NXT, like, showed him a ton of respect and showed him mm-hmm. a ton of, like, you know, admiration for what he can do in the ring. But on the main roster, I don't know if we've seen that just yet.
Yeah.
You know? So the jury feels like it's still kind of out. Like, yeah, you know, they turned Jinder Mahal around, you know, when he came back. But even that took a while. Like, he was back for a good year before he got, you know, the WWE Championship on SmackDown.
Yeah. So I want to say, all of us who talk about and speculate on, like, how much money these guys make in WWE versus how much money they make,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the indies, and compare and contrast this, and how rich are these independent wrestlers really, we don't know what we're talking about.
No, we don't.
And there's so much that we don't think about or consider, like,
yeah.
you know, yes, the Bucks are going everywhere. Yes, the Bucks are headlining these crazy things. Mm-hmm. There have been hints that, like, the Bucks are probably millionaires by this point.
But at the same time, where's that financial standing after the fact, after All In? Because they used a lot of capital.
They did. And you think about things like, you know what, the Bucks have to pay for their own plane tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, and WWE has to provide your own transportation there, too.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, a lot of money is going out mm-hmm. to fund these guys' careers as much as it's coming
yeah.
in. And you think about just, like, a three-year run, maybe a five-year run in WWE can set you for life
sure.
if you do it right and you know, mm-hmm. do your finances right. Like, we are all assuming that CM Punk has not run out of money.
No.
Because if he has, he would have been on All In.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and granted, like, you know, he made a pretty penny of doing the signing at.
Well, absolutely. Like, he has, but
yeah.
that's because, you know, 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
he was the biggest thing in WWE.
Yeah.
That he can do this. And I want to compare, honestly, so I want to compare him to Colt Cabana right now.
Okay.
5 years ago, 6 years ago, Colt Cabana was the biggest thing in independent wrestling.
Yeah.
With the podcast, he had the top tier thing. He was who you went to when you talked about independent wrestling,
yeah.
when you talked about you can make it on your own,
mm-hmm.
when you talked about anything to
yeah,
do
because
with...
Not to the extent that Cody's doing it now, but, like, he hustled himself.
He hustled himself.
Yeah.
He had these deals. He had these deals for himself and mm-hmm. for the podcast.
Like,
he was making...
Pro Wrestling Tees is basically in existence because of the partnership that he had with One Hour Tees.
Yeah.
Like, and he, like, basically, I don't want to say he created the market for, you know, wrestling t-shirts or for independence,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of ignited something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was doing the Road Diaries movies.
Yep.
He was the biggest thing. He was the shining example of being a megastar without WWE.
What you
help.
Needed to do to be successful without a giant machine
right.
behind you.
We fast forward to, you know, 5 years later, 6 years later today, he didn't even get booked on All In beyond a run-in in the, you know,
he was
in the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So he's you know, not on the main card. He's on the, you know, little beginning thing. Mm-hmm. And he can't pay for his legal fees.
Yeah.
And again, his legal fees are nothing to sneeze at. Like, sure. That's a huge amount of money.
And well, I mean, okay, no one's saying, well, there's a possibility he could pay his legal fees.
But he feels like he shouldn't have to.
He shouldn't have to because of an agreement that he and Punk had. Like, that's right, right, the, right. What's the,
and not,
the heart here.
Not trying to get into that.
Yeah.
But the world of independent wrestling moved on from Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
And you can blame, you know, you can blame like, oh well, he was tied up with this legal stuff and people wouldn't work with him.
Stuff. He's
you can
more of
you can
a
blame
comedy wrestler now.
Yeah, you can point to
which
a lot
is
of
his
things.
Own like it's his own desire. Like that's where he feels comfortable in. Like that's what he wants to do.
Right.
So
there's a lot of things you can blame and point to and analyze and break down. But it can also just as easily come down to time marches on, and the Bucks are the shiny new thing right now.
Yeah.
And but in 5 years, do we have a shinier, newer thing?
Yeah.
And are the Bucks wishing they had, you know, taken the 5 years in WWE so that they can command the kind of money that CM Punk just made signing stuff?
Yeah.
And they can command the line that CM Punk had, you know, with people
would,
just wanted to see
the only, I feel like one of the major things, if they are negotiating with WWE or if they're in talks or whatever, I feel like the key point for them would be probably having a bigger percentage of their merchandise cuts than what normal guys do, because that's where they make the killing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would expect they would have to have some sort of say in their merchandise period, like in the creation of it.
I think
they take so much pride in that.
Right.
You know, and they turn out merchandise like it's nobody's business.
Yeah. I my guess and speculation, my guess is it would come down to even if they, you know, have the same, like they get the same percentage cut that any guy gets, they can still take it and do it after they leave WWE.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's the thing is like, if Kofi Kingston and Big E decide they don't like this WWE machine and they're out of there, they're not the New Day anymore. The New Day is a WWE. They can't talk about pancakes and unicorns and stuff. They can make up new crazy things.
Sure.
But this whole New Day empire that they've built where they can sell boxes of cereal for $20 because it says Bootios on it, they can't take that with them. No. They have to start from scratch and rebuild something like that. So I think that would be the biggest sticking point for someone like the Bucks is, you know, if we come up with, you know, like the arm tassels kind of thing, and then we go, we still get to sell these arm tassels or this headband or t-shirts with this funny character on it, that this isn't WWE stuff, we get to take it with us. It's why, like, you think about people like, I can't even remember what Damian Sandow's new name is.
I mean, I think he's just going by Aaron Stevens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Damian Sandow. Yeah, like I don't remember it. And so if there's a t-shirt that says anything but Damian Sandow, like, I don't know who that is.
Sure.
I don't want that t-shirt. Again, I want a bathrobe that says Damian Sandow on it.
Yeah.
I want glasses that say Mizdow on the side.
Yeah.
And he can't take any of that. He can't use any of that.
Hence why Big Cass is now going by Big C.
Yeah.
You know.
And all the work. And like, to drive the Sandow point up, he is the one that put in all the work to make that work, to get that over.
Yeah.
He is the one that has given terrible, terrible concepts and gone 190% into them to the point where they get over. And he now can't do anything to reap the benefit from all that work because he can't use Damian Sandow. He can't use the intellectual character that he had.
I mean, he could. He just would have to.
He'd have to call it something else.
Yeah,
and he'd have
to
be like,
look the same. He could still wear like the bathrobe and stuff, but it wouldn't be the same because of the name in itself.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. They would have to work some sort of, they would have to work some sort of deal as far as, you know, like I said, the, you know, having creative input over their merchandise, probably having a bigger cut for their merchandise, and. Honestly, I could see them trying to bridge some sort of deal with WWE and like Pro Wrestling Tees or with. I know WWE already sells stuff at Hot Topic, but like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Pro Wrestling Tees is not wanting any of the Bullet Club, main Bullet Club guys or the Elite guys to go over to WWE because that's a big chunk of their
revenue. Oh, it is, yeah.
Like, if the Elite leaves, like, that's a lot of the interesting parts of the Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the core of the Bullet Club. Now, and honestly, that might be why they're kind of splitting in factions right now with the Firing Squad and everything, because it might be on the horizon.
That they need to...
Because there's a chance that Marty Scurll might turn heel and join the Firing Squad. Like, it's a big rumor right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be one of the big, indicators.
Well, I mean, and you have this interesting thing. If they come back, they are coming back as... if they don't come back, but if they go to WWE, mm-hmm. they're going as the Young Bucks and...
The Elite, and Omega.
Yeah. We're
Cody
not...
Cody Rhodes.
Maybe, I don't know.
He might stick
with Cody right now. Because
he can use Cody Rhodes anytime he wanted to.
Yeah.
But he just chooses to go by Cody, according to him.
Right.
And Hangman Page, yeah.
I mean, my point is, we're not getting this, you know, Kenta to Hideo Itami transition for this
one. No. And by and large, they've kind of abandoned that for the most part. There are some people that they'll still change their names.
Well,
lesser-known people.
Right. But some of that is like, okay, so if Kenny Omega shows up in WWE, does this character in WWE, has he ever faced Chris Jericho before?
I mean, they would bring it up because they brought it up with Nakamura and AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Like, they faced together, you know, in Japan. They won't, like, name specifics, but they've
said... They won't, but they say they've wrestled together. Like,
right.
But they don't talk about... I mean, they didn't have an ongoing feud to deal with. Like, as we saw at All In... Jericho and Kenny Omega have an unresolved feud. And do they talk about this is continuing the feud that was started? So, like, okay, does New Japan to start to count? Like, we have this WWE continuity, and in WWE continuity, nothing in TNA happened.
Yeah.
Like, yes, these guys went to wrestle elsewhere. Other wrestling happened. Mm-hmm. We don't think Sting hung out in a closet for, you know, the years between WCW.
Yeah.
But, like, WCW happened in WWE continuity. TNA didn't.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know about Ring of Honor. Like, Ring of Honor is kind of like some of it.
Yeah, but like
in
Ring of Honor... They'll bring it up here and there. But,
right.
Yeah.
But, like, in Ring of Honor continuity, New Japan happens.
Yeah.
And in New Japan continuity, Ring of Honor happens. That's shared continuity.
Yeah.
And if you start to bring these guys with this history into WWE, especially with this... Now, again, I'm talking about this. WWE can't friggin' deal with WWE continuity week to week.
No, like, no, yeah.
It's not the making the map. Like, this is why Triple H had to clone himself to make WWE continuity work. Like, it's stupid. And if you add all this in, then I'm like, oh, this is how it works. Because, no, it won't do that. But I'm interested to think, to see what would count and what wouldn't count.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, and honestly, like, when you think about, like, you know, what's coming up, like, on the horizon and everything, it would be a kind of a shame if the Elite guys weren't there for the Ring of Honor New Japan Super Show at Madison Square Garden. Like, part of it would feel like, like, you know, you want those guys to be there. But at the same time, I understand why WWE's going for those guys because,
oh, absolutely,
you know... They want them on their show on that night.
Yeah. I mean,
they'll probably be on NXT. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you absolutely think about, you know, obviously WWE wants these guys, but the fact that they have done this pack, we're all going in the same direction, no matter where it goes, is got to be scary for New Japan. Like, that could potentially gut New Japan.
Because, like, again,
right on this
press. They're the most interesting thing that's been going on in wrestling for the last year or so.
Yeah.
Like, them as a group. Like, granted, like, they have a wide range and variety of amazing talent beyond these guys, but, like, the biggest story has involved at least one of those guys at some point over the last couple years.
New Japan is making no bones about it. They're making a serious play for an American market.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, Madison Square Garden was a big, was a big blow.
Madison Square Garden doing stuff in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even just, like, making sure that... They had, like, Wrestle Kingdom's had English commentary for 4 years, maybe 5 years now.
Yeah.
But starting to make sure, like, okay, the G1's getting this. We're advertising this. This is how you, as Americans, can access the New Japan mm-hmm. you know, world, the network thing, that really kind of like, this is a viable wrestling alternative. And having Kenny Omega and having the Young Bucks is a big part of that.
Yeah.
And so, and just, you know, they are top tier faces of this company. And if they're mm-hmm. gone, New Japan's immediately in a dire rebuilding process.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. Like, they haven't had a rebuild like that since they lost, you know, AJ, Gallows, and Anderson, and Nakamura, like, in the mm-hmm. same swoop. Like,
yeah.
But on the flip side, if I'm WWE and I do get these guys, I specifically focus and, like, nurture the behind-the-scenes ambition of Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Triple H needs, if they bring them back, Triple H needs to take him under his wing as far as, like, producing and doing stuff behind the scenes, because he could be, you know, the Triple H of his generation's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, like, whenever the day comes where, you know, Vince, you know, moves on from this mortal coil or just decides to hang it up or whatever and hands the producer reins to Triple H of the main, of the, you know, of the main roster, who else is going to, you know, who would take over NXT? Honestly, you can give it to Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know? And this could be years ahead, like, down the road, where Cody's, like, might be wrapping up his in-ring career anyway, you know? But, yeah, like, WWE needs to foster ambition.
I don't think we have stressed enough in this episode how much All In looked like a show.
Yeah.
100%. Just like in the fact that mm-hmm. it looks like an event that you would see mm-hmm. on any, you know, WWE or in mm-hmm. New Japan event.
Credit to Ring of Honor, like, providing them with equipment and manpower and stuff. But at the same time, because you've seen it kind of in previous episodes of Being the Elite, of actually, like, bringing Cody along on how he would produce stuff and, like, letting him express himself creatively behind the scenes. Like, mm-hmm. they're harboring his creative ambition, which, again, if WWE lands these guys, they need to continue that.
Yeah.
You know? They need to, continue to harbor his creative ambition, because if you don't, I don't know how that's going to affect their on-screen personality, because they're going to be, you know, they're going to feel like killed. They're going to feel caged in.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of independent wrestling.
Yeah.
And there is a threshold somewhere in there that you can't quite describe, but there's an above the line and below the line feeling.
Yes.
And All In is so far above the line. And this is, you know, these guys have been dealing with, you know, they know what it looks like
right.
to have, you know, to be putting on a show like this. They've been a part of them, even if they're not producing them themselves.
But they've witnessed enough, you know, going to small shows, being with Cody, being part of WWE. Like, they've seen what they like, they've seen what they don't like. They're like, you know, those actors that are, like, very, like, seasoned veterans that have been around a lot of people and then direct movies themselves, and they're pretty successful.
Well, that's why you see,
because they pick and choose, you know, what they see other directors doing, and, you know, pick, you know,
yeah, that's
incorporate
why you see
what they like and take out what they don't.
So many actors getting best director nominations
right.
on their first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, yeah, they've worked with, you know, 20 different actors or directors, and
yeah, and they can cherry pick, like, what they liked about some and what they didn't like about others. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have that. You have that with, you know, Cody and the Bucks. So I don't know. Part of me, like I said, wants to keep them where they are, but to continue to grow creatively and, you know, keep doing their own shows, because Cody could run his own federation.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and,
absolutely.
And the Bucks could too, but Cody himself, like, he could run his own federation if he wanted to.
I mean, personally, selfishly, I don't want them to go. I want this independent era to continue and to grow into,
yeah,
like, WWE at the top of the mountain is boring.
Yeah.
And it's what it is, and I'm not like, oh, they should mm-hmm. step down and give some shit. No, it's business, and they should, you know, they need to do better
mm-hmm.
because they want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And
just one other quick aside, like, What's more exciting? The Bucks versus New Day in WWE, mm-hmm. both as part of the company, or Bucks versus New Day while they're both still in completely different companies? Like, that's way more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's more like, oh my goodness, like this partnership. Like, because that's what we're seeing in a lot of, like, you know, that's the spirit behind All In. It's like so many companies and so many people, like, were teaming together to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
You know, because they've all kind of identified that one alone person or one alone company can overtake WWE. And so they're not even trying. They're just teaming together to build something special.
Well, and then that, again, this, yeah, like you're saying, this second tier, mm-hmm. is so easy because we have so many people fighting for second place with New Japan and yeah. Ring of Honor. And even if you want to throw in stuff like Impact and Lucha Underground, where you have all these, you know, other companies, but they present themselves as others, except for Impact, which still presents itself as WWE if you can't afford WWE.
Yeah.
But even then, they're doing better.
Sure, yeah.
And part of this is this being willing to work together, to deal with each other, to do something that will mutually benefit both companies.
Yeah.
And it's an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
I will not be surprised, and I will not blame anybody if WWE swoops in with the money machine and being like, Fox gave us so much money and we need to clear out this warehouse.
Pretty much.
Here is this money.
Yeah.
Like, if that happens, I get it. But selfishly, I want to see All In too.
Yeah.
I want to see All In.
I want to see what these
become
guys
a yearly show.
Next. Yeah.
And then I want to see, like, oh, and they're going to try a Rumble. Like,
yeah.
Like, I want to see this, you know, show a year, build to two shows a year, mm-hmm. build to an independent big four.
Yeah.
And I want to see what they can do.
Yeah. I want to see what they come up with next. I want to see what they do next to challenge themselves, what the card would look like if it's something where they kind of depend more heavily on building up specific matches rather than just personalities. Because
mm-hmm.
the first All In was just about history, essentially. Like, that, they're creating the excitement around, you know, them doing this thing.
For the first time since whenever.
And, you know, you can't exactly rest on those laurels if you're doing a second one. You have to do something to create and build excitement, especially if you're trying to fill a bigger arena, which they easily can do
mm-hmm.
if they continue this trajectory.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an exciting time. It's one of those things where, like, the growing popularity of wrestling in general is kind of like a, you know, rising tide raises all ships kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
whereas WWE is just trying to drain the entire harbor.
Because they're still on the tallest mountain.
Yes.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, yes, I lived through the Monday Night Wars,
yeah,
but I didn't appreciate what I was living through at the time.
Yeah, you didn't understand exactly what you were seeing.
And I feel like this time around, I'm going to appreciate it properly.
Right, and it's not even a war. It's just a growing and acceptance of pro wrestling.
It's the most interesting time in pro wrestling since the Monday Night Wars.
Absolutely.
And I want to revel in that.
Yeah.
So.
I fully agree.
All right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter @CRAttire, where we live tweet the shows that we watch.
Yep. And if you have any questions, comments, tell us your own thoughts on All In. Send that all over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We're on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You subscribe there, get a single new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, drop us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.